I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 5th, 2025. And the first thing we're going to do is respond to Trump's speech last night. We're going to talk about tariffs very briefly. And then we're going to get into a bombshell report on the scale of crime in Canada that you've never heard of, written by an organization that you've never heard of, headed by a man that you've never heard of, which is a testament to the glaring malfeasance and dereliction of duty of our mainstream media in this country. First, let's dispense with the tariff talks. I write on X, Trump signs executive orders on cartels, terrorism, and drug smuggling. Trump levels punitive tariffs against Canada, naming fentanyl as a primary concern. Canada busts labs making enough fentanyl to kill the continent many times over, billions of doses. Trump says it's about fentanyl last night. Some guy on X says, dude, this got nothing to do with fent. Has everything to do with fent. I think the misconception that's going around here is that there's two sets of tariffs, and this has maybe not been properly communicated. There's the punitive tariffs that we're dealing with right now, the 25%, which are tied to our massive-scale criminal enterprise in this country. I'm going to show you more about that today. Then there is the April 2nd tariffs, which are reciprocal. They are in response to tariffs that we already charge the United States. Two sets of tariffs, two separate issues. Mel says, placing unjust tariffs on Canada to try and weaken the economy to annex us is an act of war. It's actually not. If tariffs were an act of war, every single nation on this planet is at war with each other. Canada charges tariffs on a lot of products to the United States, sometimes 200 to 300%, with the purpose of protecting our agricultural industry. We have a disadvantage in Canada called winter. Our winters are harsh. Our farmers have to compete with more southerly climes and the products of those southerly climes, who can afford to produce more crop because they get more sun versus what we can do up here. You can argue all day that those things are necessary. That's fine. But you need to understand, we charge them already. It's a tax on them doing business here. Trump is just doing and responding to what we do to him already. And we don't just do it to the Americans, we do it to ourselves. Maple Leaf MAGA says, I'm amazed this article was written by the Toronto Star. Why is it easier and cheaper to export food to neighboring countries than to neighboring provinces and territories? We have trade barriers between the provinces in Canada. Is Quebec declaring war on Ontario? Is Saskatchewan declaring war on Alberta because there are barriers to trading things like beer and maple syrup and all kinds of other products between the provinces? Is that what it is? Or is this just a normal practice and Canadians have become hysterical, worked up into a fervor because the government and the media has told you to be worked up into a fervor? Erat Perfect says, don't forget spending decades insulting Americans and proudly defining ourselves by not being them to now proclaim we are such good friends. It is insane to me that this government and the people in this country have spent so much time hubristically insulting the Americans during the time that Trump was out of office. In the lead up to the election, Justin Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh practically campaigned for Kamala Harris, and they don't expect there to be some kind of consequence. Why would the Americans continue to agree to pay our tariffs to the tune of an excess of hundreds of billions of dollars of American capital that comes into this country versus what we send to them? Why would they continue when we insult them, we demean them, we look down on them for some reason, all while they defend us? Have you ever seen the cartoon Spike and Ike? Big dog with a little dog with a big mouth? We're the little dog with a big mouth, and the big dog just took notice that it's an abusive relationship. Zach says, Canada had 2 months to fix the border. Government instead chose to behave like toddlers. Trump administration recognizes that this country is run by cartels and will not budge until the fentanyl problem is addressed. Parliament would rather lie on camera and let the people suffer. 100% accurate. I've showed in previous videos, and you should go to YouTube. These are timeless videos, particularly the sword video, the helmet video. All these videos, though, surround this topic. I've tried not to repeat myself as much as possible, and I'm still able to put together hours of content showing you with mainstream sources and publicly available government documents. No 4chan stuff, no Reddit stuff, clear, concise documentation that the crime in Canada can be expressed as a double-digit percentage of our GDP. That's reality. I don't know how Canadians are in denial of the fact. Look around your streets. Tent cities everywhere. Fence zombies everywhere. Meth heads everywhere. We have a housing market that is partly being inflated, not just by mass immigration, but by rampant money laundering. I've showed you the source material as to the people in this country who are recognizing it, and there are still Canadians in denial today that Canada has become a crime capital of the world, an international clearinghouse. I've showed you in these videos, please go watch them, they're timeless, how Hezbollah and Hamas use Canada as a launching pad for international money laundering, and that 500% more terrorists come from Canada into the United States than came across the Mexican border, because it's easier to get in from here with financing and funding and support. We allow them to protest on our streets. They organize in the open. I've showed you in these videos how Chinese Communist Party people have infiltrated Canada, how they fund our universities, how they bought up our resource sector. This is not conspiracy information. This is reality. And if watching videos isn't your speed, you want to read books. Sam Cooper, Willful Blindness, second edition, updated. Claws of the Panda by Jonathan Manthorpe. These books will prepare you to understand what Canada has become under decades of leadership of the people who now identify as Team Canada, the same people who stomped your flag into the snow in 2022, the same people who suspended the charter and took your rights away and tried to force you into a medical experiment, the same people who have sold Canada out are now trying to wrap themselves the flags as some type of champion of this country. It is hypocritical. It's absurd. You've got Doug Ford out there threatening an act of war and a crime against humanity. Leaving millions of people in the dark in the middle of winter in the United States is not a proportional response. It is not at scale to a tax that we charge them. We charge them tariffs. We have barriers between our own provinces. He wants to leave millions in the dark, and he'll do it with a smile on his face. These people are sadistic, and they've stood by while they have financially ruined this country, while they have left our guard down. They've denuded our military. They've allowed crime to take over. Again, not conspiracies, reality. Now, people are celebrating Blanchet in Quebec for having a moderate voice when it comes to cutting off energy supplies. Look, Quebec doesn't care about Canada. They don't care about Americans. Energy supply cuts would severely affect their economic model, what there is of it that isn't just government mandated or government subsidized. Blanchet's not being a voice of reason. He's once again doing what he does best, which is looking after the interest of Quebec. And I'm not judging him from that. I judge Canada for letting Quebec take such thorough advantage of this federation to the detriment of the entire nation. This country has so many problems. But back to Ford and his stupid policy positions, especially if there's some kind of compromise between Trudeau and the United States, which is possible. He's going to look like a fool again, just like he looked like a fool triggering this election. And again, and the Ontario electorate rewarded him with another mandate, even though 55% stayed home because they don't believe in the process anymore. I digress. Ontario is a collapsing welfare state like a dying star, dependent on mass immigration and crime to survive, just like Canada. California's debt is half of Ontario's, and their GDP is $4.1 trillion. It's larger than all of Canada's and five times larger than Ontario. Ontario's debt to GDP ratio is 50%, while California's is about 5%. We're looking at state funding. We're not looking at the federal government here. If we start adding in the federal government municipal figures in Ontario, the picture gets a lot more bleak. Ford should shut up and sit down. He's not doing any favors for himself, his province, his country, or with the Americans who we've already pissed off. Kimberly says, Canada's reaction to American tariffs seems exaggerated, especially since we impose our own on American goods. It feels more like politics. Trudeau just wants to appear tough while deflecting from our own protectionist policies. Meanwhile, pressing issues like crime and economic stagnation are worsening. Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you for getting it. It's just wonderful when I see people actually understanding what is. Back to Mel for a second, where this is the person from earlier that said placing unjust tariffs on Canada to try and weaken the economy and annex us is an act of war. Setting, let's just pretend that's real. Is it an act of war to have mega labs here in Canada manufacturing fentanyl, the raw materials of which come from China? Is it a crime against humanity? Is it an act of war that we do the same thing for methamphetamine? That on the other side of the planet, in Australia, in those videos I highlighted, I showed you the official documentation. 83% of Australian methamphetamine comes from Canada. They're on the other side of the planet. It comes from here because we are an international clearinghouse for crime. Is that a war crime? Is that a crime against humanity? Is that an act of war? If tariffs, as you say, are an act of war, what are we doing to the world? We're literally killing hundreds of thousands of people with drugs manufactured right here in Canada. People got to wake up. Now, before we get to the bombshell, which I talked about in the beginning of the video, we're going to look at first Alex Putkin's comment. Russia is the world's third largest producer of nickel. If we stop selling nickel to the USA, who is going to benefit? Tell me, Doug Ford, because Doug Ford says it will shut down manufacturing. Ontario will stop nickel shipments to US if tariffs imposed. So because this moron, this fat Trudeau, forgive me some colloquials, it's really frustrating that this guy is out front. He's going on American media making us look like fools. There was a multi-billion dollar investment about to be made in Sudbury, which has been canceled until 2028, not because of Donald Trump, but because of Doug Ford. And now Ford is also talking about shutting down nickel shipments, which means mass unemployment for the Ontario workers he just campaigned to protect, which I've said this entire time. If the trade war gets kicked off, and it honestly should, I don't know why the Americans have any skin in the game to let us off the hook, considering how we're acting. We're acting hysterical. Doug Ford campaigned to protect Ontarians. He's going to put them out of work. That's his plan. Team Canada's plan is to introduce some kind of universal basic income subsidy program and print money, hyperinflating the currency. That's their plan in response to a tax, to a tariff, which we already charged them. We've lost the script. Meanwhile, we are completely dependent on America for our export market in oil. We actually buy some of their oil to mix with our oil so it will actually flow through pipelines. All of our pipelines, except for Trans Mountain, go through the United States. We can't quickly adjust. If we want to build Canadian resiliency, it's going to take a decade. We should have started this sooner. When Trudeau came in office, he came in on a policy of shutting down Western energy. He promised to end the oil industry in this country. And I am shocked and appalled to see Daniel Smith and Scott Moe and Western leadership still align themselves to Ottawa after all the suffering Ottawa has inflicted on Western Canada for the last 150 years. It's not just the last 10 years. What are we doing? The Americans have been helping us this entire time. And we're going to virtue signal that they're the bad guys? We need better leadership messaging out here in the West. I can tell you that. Now, in terms of the bombshell I was talking about, this is in addition to all the videos I recommended earlier. I've relied heavily on Canadian sources, government, and media to make those videos. I've had to sprinkle in some foreign sources where there was no reliable Canadian data. But I want you to understand, outside of Canada's comfy little hubristic bubble, where we have this vision of ourselves as a nice, peaceful country of beautiful, nice people that the world loves, we are actually recognized as an international crime hub. And this is one of the organizations that recognizes us, the ICAI. Who are they? You've never heard of them. They are the International Coalition Against Illicit Economies. They're headed by a man named David M. Looney. He's got 170K followers, 500 connections on LinkedIn. He's a former U.S. diplomat and national security official, and he's globally recognized for his expertise in assessing the scale of international crime, of which on February 26, 2025, he dropped this article, Canada Transnational Organized Crime and Drug Trafficking, Canada's Role in Expanding Global Illicit Economies. Money laundering is the biggest illicit market and organized crime threat facing Canada. If you scroll down, they say between $36 billion and $91 billion is being laundered and fully integrated in Canada's economy annually. That means fully integrated means into your real estate sector, into your agricultural land. Money that is derived from the sale of drugs and other illicit products. In my previous work, I focused on drugs and money laundering. I didn't talk about human trafficking or counterfeit goods or all the other ways. Auto theft, how many Canadian stolen cars end up in Nigeria, how they're shipped out through our ports because our ports Our guard is down. We don't actually look at our container traffic. We examine exactly 0% of the rail traffic that crosses our border. Seriously, our guard is down. This isn't some kind of conspiracy. And we are recognized for it. A recent investigation at TD Bank, for example, saw the financial institution admitting its lax anti-money laundering regime allowed fentanyl traffickers to launder at least $670 million and engaged in numerous other billion-dollar financial crime cases. There's a lot of people out there who like to put out this figure that only 1% of the fentanyl in the United States comes from Canada. They're talking about seizures. They're not talking about what gets through. So if you factor in that 1% and you figure out, as I have in other videos, how much is not being seized, and then you look at how porous our borders are, the number is huge. It's off the charts. And you're in denial about it. Your 1% little graph that everybody shares, all of you NPCs, the way you share it around, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't mean anything. It is not a meaningful data point. One of the single greatest crises facing the public mind is that people want to be right. They don't want to figure out what is right. So they fixate on one data point as though it sweeps away all of the other data points, and then they go around repeating it. They're putting their ignorance on display. It's just like people who pretend that tariffs are an act of war, or tariffs are something new, or that Canada's response is nothing short of hysterical. We're losing our minds talking about acquiring nuclear weapons because of a trade war, because of tariffs. And again, there's punitive tariffs because of the drug problem and the crime problem that runs rampant in Canada. I would argue runs a good chunk of our government. And the tariffs, which are reciprocal because we've so insulted the Americans for so long, they're sick of subsidizing us. And that's what it is. It's not a direct subsidy. They're not cutting a check and just handing it to us. They're paying our tariffs. That's what he's talking about. So all the fact checkers out there need to relax. Again, you're focused on trying to look right, not being right. But back to this report. The biggest thing I want you to note is the date. 27 November 2023. I've showed in my previous videos how extended our history, the history of knowledge of this problem goes back all the way to Project Sidewinder, which took place in the previous century. The growing harms of cross-border illicit trade vectors and threat convergence to Canada's national security. Urgent attention and action are needed. 2023, we needed more manpower then. We didn't get it. We needed more secure ports. We didn't get it. We needed better vetting of our mass immigration policies as we release known terrorists into this country who then begin organizing and financing. We didn't get it. Instead, we gave Omar Khadr $10.5 million, and we brought back ISIS fighters. We reintegrated them with checks paid for by you, the taxpayer. There's a plan to bring Canada down, to turn us into an insecure, crushed nation with a bunch of brainwashed people wandering around pretending that we are the envy of the world, publishing lists and sharing lists, like that data point, that 1% graph. It's the same thing. When someone shares a university-compiled list that says Canada is the best country in the world, how much of that list is paid for? By Chinese Communist Party money or crime money? It's being funneled through every aspect of Canadian society. This is a 54-page document dealing with narcotics and opioids, fake pharmaceuticals and consumer counterfeits, illegal alcohol, tobacco products, other crimes and consumer frauds, cross-border money laundering. And it's just extensive. And maybe we'll go through this in a long form. Maybe that's what we'll do. Because some people don't want to click on videos that are longer than 20 minutes, and other people want long form. So maybe we'll go through this point by point in its own separate video. The main point I'm trying to get across to you today is A, watch my previous video work. B, read the books if you don't want to watch my video work. C, again, that we have a long and massive history of drug and illicit crime here in Canada that many Canadians are in denial of. The denial has to stop. We have to realize that the reason we're being tariffed is because we've become a corrupt criminal narco state on a scale similar to Mexico. Just because we don't have the gun-toting cartels here. And look at Mexico. Look at the difference in responses. Mexico handed over 29 cartel heads to the United States on their demand because they recognize they are a crime-ridden country. Canada, on the other hand, hasn't done anything. We had that mega lab bust like we're talking billions of doses of productivity. We've had massive busts, and few people have been charged. We're not busting up the networks. We're not looking to hand them over to the United States. Instead, we're rallying the country around a self-destructive trade war to protect the corruption, to protect the crime, to protect the money launderers. That's what your government is doing, wrapped in the flag, calling themselves Team Canada. And somehow we've already blown past the 20-minute mark, but I want to address one more thing. And this is Penguin, says, Frank is a coward who relies on his wife. How many Saskatchewan guys here play internet all day? And I respond, I do rely on my wife, just as she relies on me. Behind every good man is a good woman. You won't hear her complain, nor me. You'd be lucky to get one like her. She encourages everything I do. She takes care of my children and educates them while I'm in here doing this. People stream 8 hours a day playing video games. People stream doing imitations of emotes. There's people selling bathwater, women selling bathwater, pimping themselves out on OnlyFans. This that I am creating is a full-time job, and I'm doing it with some pretty stringent rules. The rules being I'm not going to sell ads. I'm not going to take sponsorships. I'm going to offer everything for free, and you folks have to figure out how to pay for it so that I can survive and have a budget to grow it. I'm pretty cheap. There ain't much I need in life. I drive used cars. My house is already paid for, so you don't have to look after that. I just have ongoing expenses. I do this because I care. I do this because I'm driving at the truth. I do this because it's a respectable job. I've had a hard enough time. He talks about SaaS guys. I farmed for 20 years. I worked with my hands until they bled. I sweat. I couldn't see because of the sweat in my eyes. Black flies and stuff coming after me so I could grow beets and broccoli and sell it for pennies and have some guy at the other side of the stall complained that the price was too high, barely making it by, skimping and saving and rolling my change to make that extra mortgage payment at the end of the year. And luckily for me, I did enough that I managed to pay my house off. I sold in Ontario. I came out here, and I came out here mortgage free. That's fantastic. I'm not complaining about it. I got a nice house, but I'm not made of money. I still got to work. And even if I was a rich man, I would probably just do this straight out for free. But the fact is, I need a budget. The fact is, the second you put a donate link on your page, that's taxable income, folks, even if you're not selling anything. So this is a business, and a business needs revenue. And I'm not setting up paywalls to generate revenue. I want this to be accessible to everybody, regardless of socioeconomic status. So the reason I'm on the internet all day is because this is a job. This is a business. And it has a really weird model. One where there's no product for sale, there's no advertising, there's no nothing else. It depends on the users. If that makes me a bad guy in Penguin's eyes, go talk to all the other streamers who are shilling that they got memberships, they got all this other stuff, and they're just them playing video games. They're not offering anything of substance. This is a pretty guilt-free enterprise. I'm trying to tell the truth. If you like the truth, please consider liking, sharing, subscribing, which I never say, or supporting it via the website. I appreciate it all, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.